Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, unfold and open to us all that was written about you by Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Open our minds, our hearts, our souls to the fullness of all that was fulfilled in your suffering, so we may understand the greatness of the grace, mercy, and compassion in our forgiveness provided in your blood, poured out on the cross for our sins. Amen. Total honesty. Not mincing words at all. Far from politically correct. Not worried if there would be a snowflake response using today's parlance. The person speaking in such clear and powerful manner was a follower of Jesus Christ. That's right, a follower of Jesus Christ told it just like it is. For often in the church, we are told to be careful in the way we communicate so as not to offend and turn off the other person. But did you hear Peter preaching to the onlookers after the healing of the crippled beggar? And the beggar was healed simply as Peter said, Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Greater than the value of silver, greater than the value of gold, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Peter freely gives, and God does wonders. After praising God, Peter then levels both barrels and lets them have it. Starting with Acts chapter 3, verse 13. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our forefathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go." The lambasting continues, verses 14 and 15. "You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life." Then Peter points them to Jesus. "But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." Peter then preaches that the name of Jesus and faith in Jesus is why this man stands before them healed. It was Jesus, the one they disowned, the one they rejected, the one they killed. Jesus. Acts chapter 3. Then Peter changes it, starting at verse 18. "But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." The power of the preaching is because Peter bore right down to the truth. They disowned, they rejected, they killed the author of life. He bore that truth. Then Peter poured on the grace. "Though you acted in ignorance, that was how God fulfilled what he had foretold through the prophets. Christ would suffer. Repent, turn to God, so your sins may be wiped out." It's time to tell the truth. Time to tell the truth so the power of the gospel will break through to souls, bringing the refreshing power that forgives sins and wipes them out completely. Forgiven forever. Did you notice Peter said God fulfilled what had been foretold by all the prophets in the scripture? Christ would suffer. And so, earlier, 2, toward Emmaus. Two were walking and talking, and they had downcast face. Sadness was easily seen, and upon these two walking toward Emmaus comes Jesus. So they could not recognize him. Jesus joins them and begins to talk with them. He asks, why are they so downcast? And they respond, downcast because of what happened to Jesus of Nazareth, a powerful prophet in word and deed, a prophet they had hoped would redeem Israel. But the chief priests handed him over to be crucified. And then these two then went on to say, then earlier this day, the women surprised us with a testimony of an empty tomb, a vision of an angel telling them Jesus was alive. And in response to them, Jesus says, recorded in Luke 24, beginning at verse 25, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Jesus was saying to them that all that happened in Jerusalem, the prophets had foretold. Suffer. Christ had to suffer. For the generation of today that goes to every means possible to avoid suffering, the reality that Christ had to suffer is off-putting. Yet, that suffering is why he came. He came to die. He came to die. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. I really encourage you to pay attention to how Jesus walked these two men through the Bible as they walked together on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. The scriptures of the Hebrew people, Jesus explained from them all concerning himself. For those who doubt the Old Testament, for those who take apart and dissect the Old Testament with textual and source criticism, for those who don't know how to deal with the things that happened so long ago, take a page from Jesus and do as he did, beginning with Moses and the prophets, that is, beginning in the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Jesus explains what was said there concerning himself. In these words written, you will find the Word of God, recorded to teach us who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who fulfilled the scriptures, fulfilled through suffering. In the breaking of the bread, Cleopas and the other recognized Jesus, and Jesus vanished. Luke 24, 31 and 32. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? As the word of God was opened to them, their hearts were burning like a consuming fire, a fire coming alive as understanding took root in their hearts and souls. The Christ must suffer. The two got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11. The 11 said to them, Simon has seen the Lord. And then the two told the 11 and others gathered their experience. And while this conversation was going on amongst themselves, Jesus stands among them and says, peace be with you. They were startled. They were frightened, thinking a ghost. And Jesus speaks again. He says, Luke 24, starting at verse 38, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have." But yet doubt still persisted. So Jesus said, "Do you have anything to eat here?" A broiled fish was handed to him, and he ate it in their presence. So they all could see, and you would know, Jesus, fully human, risen from the grave. This week, I was mulling over the words from God in these verses, and I never really made this connection. That night, around the table in the room with the 11 and the others, Jesus proceeded to do as he had already done on the road to Emmaus. Jesus unfolded the scriptures for the 11 and the others as he had done already with the two walking the dusty road. Luke 24, starting at verse 44, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Jesus opened the scriptures to them that the Christ would suffer. That word "suffer" is such a short word. It's too short of word to summarize the excruciatingly extreme torture that was perpetrated against Jesus. But where did Jesus begin to say he must suffer? With Moses. And then into the prophets, and then into the Psalms. And when you hear that Psalms, it means all the writings of God's word. Recall those words Jesus cried out from the cross when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning?" Even though Jesus, on numerous occasions, had told the disciples and the others gathered to hear that he would suffer in Jerusalem, they did not understand. Now, Jesus, the risen one, opens their minds so they can understand. The writings found in the scriptures must be fulfilled. That word "fulfilled" means to be brought to completeness, to brought to fullness, totally accomplished. Many times Matthew and John emphasized in their Gospels the Scripture's fulfilled aspect of what has taken place. Mark and Luke also, to a lesser extent, show that what happened to Jesus was fulfilling prophecies. These prophecies are brought to completion to show Jesus is the promised one, the Messiah, the Christ. And you are redeemed. Going all the way back to Moses, the writings of Moses, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Right after the fall, the promise of the Redeemer. If you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, there is a scene in the Garden of Gethsemane that points very directly to this prophecy of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. As Jesus is wrestling in prayer, you see the evil one meandering through. As he's wrestling in prayer, you see a serpent coming across the ground. But as Jesus concludes his prayer, "That the cup be taken away," nevertheless sets forth resolutely to do the Father's will. As he rises from his prayers, the serpent comes near, and in the movie you see the image of the foot of Jesus stomping on the head of the serpent. With that image in the movie, it shows set in motion are the events that will crush sin and death, and it will be through suffering. The Christ must suffer. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Though he will die, strike his heel. By his death, sin and death will be destroyed. Jesus is telling the disciples gathered what was written, was accomplished, brought to completion. That completing came through suffering. The greatest blessing for us was made possible through suffering. Really think on that. Meditate on that in such a manner that you are brought to your knees in your heart and so repent for your sins. Jesus suffered for you. Must be fulfilled. That word must is that three-letter Greek word I've spoken about many times before. That word dei, D-E-I, dei. And it means necessity established by the counsel and decree of God, especially by that purpose of which relates to the salvation of men by the intervention of Christ, and which is disclosed in the Old Testament prophecies. That's how Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible speaks about that Greek word dei. In the private counsel of God, the mystery was set in place that the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God would be the only means to bring forgiveness. The only means to bring forgiveness would be the Son suffering. It's the only way. The Christ must suffer. The Scriptures must be fulfilled. There is no other way. And this is written through the pages of Scripture, beginning with Moses and through the prophets and through the Psalms. Suffering would be the way of redeeming and bringing forgiveness. The Christ must suffer. Jesus opened their minds. He must suffer to fulfill what was written and rise from the dead on the third day. And there's a result that those first witnesses were to do, and you are also to do. Luke 24, verse 47. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus then reminds them, they are the witnesses of these things. Repentance and forgiveness will be preached in his name. Now this must be fulfilled too. And the ones who will fulfill it is you. Share Jesus. Just like Peter, don't mince the words, but speak the truth. So the power of the redeeming words of the gospel will bore down into a person's soul so they come to repent and believe and have the forgiveness that Christ suffered for. For them, too. It is through you now the must be fulfilled will take place. Repent and believe, and you will be forgiven. Now go and be a witness for the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.